There's a lot of labs that you can choose from to test your samples, but the ones that are of low quality, and I've seen this personally in industry being a quality auditor for labs, when you have low quality, you don't last long. You may have lower prices. You may have faster turnaround times because you might be cutting corners that your customers don't see. And that's a sad thing in industry is the customer, all they see is their certificate coming through and they're happy at the turnaround time, they're happy at the price, but then the consistency changes.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Lab Talk, where science meets conversation. We're your hosts, Jeremy Lewis and Christopher Loke. Today we're thrilled to have a special guest joining us, Mr. Quality himself, Jacob Teller.
Now, Jake is the director of quality here at ARL, the mastermind behind ensuring everything runs smoothly and with the highest standards. Jake holds a bachelor's degree in chemistry and certifications through the American Society of Quality for Internal Auditing. Jake has also been instrumental in expanding ARL's lab network and fostering a culture of quality across the board. Jake, welcome to the show.
Thanks for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Tell us, Jake, what is an ISO accreditation? Maybe explain that a little bit to us.
Sure. Well, ISO is an international standards organization, and so they are governed by international rules that they've created for laboratories, for contract manufacturing organizations, CMOs, many different industries. It goes across the breadth of pharmaceuticals, dietary supplements, food. They have standards that regulate all those industries. When you say ISO, I assume you're meaning ISO 17025 because that's the most applicable standard that is used in laboratories, which is what we have. We have an accreditation at ARL Analytical Resource Labs to ISO 17025, the 2017 version of that standard. And what that is that it's a standard that governs a quality system, that essentially governs the operations in laboratory, in business, in quality for a company. So there's rules that you have to follow when you're ISO accredited as far as data compliance, data analysis, how things are reviewed, how things get sent to a client in a certificate. And those are all standardized so that they bring a certain level of quality to the work that's being done at that business, if that makes sense. And so when a company is ISO accredited, it means that they have been reviewed and checked by a third party. Someone outside the company has come in, reviewed their operations on the quality side, the system side, as well as the lab side and lab operations, and said, yeah, it meets the rules that are governing the standard that they're being accredited to. It's an important thing to have in this industry, especially as a laboratory, because it gives your partners a level of confidence they wouldn't have otherwise, right? When a company says, yeah, we do the testing, we do it correctly, we follow USP guidance or we follow AOAC methods or whatever, if they're not being checked by a third party, someone outside the company, it's really hard to have a level of credibility that you just can't get that without having a third party come in and take a look at you. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you want that. It's something that is able to be marketable to new business, to gain new business, to give a level of trust to new partners, but it also helps keep us in line and make sure that we're doing things correctly. Because if we were left to our own devices and the only people checking on the system were internal people, sometimes you miss things, right? Sometimes, right. You know, our internal quality staff or internal management, they get kind of tunnel vision on certain level of quality that they're seeing day to day, and they miss stuff. So having someone come in every year and evaluate the system is a good thing. It allows us to grow. It allows us to see things that we otherwise wouldn't see and be able to correct.
You've been with ARL for a while now. How long ago was it important for you to get ARL ISO accredited, and what was that process like?
So in 2013, that was when I became a quality manager for ARL full-time. So I was leaving another job in the industry, the dietary supplement industry, at a large contract manufacturer organization. And I came here to do quality. And from the get-go, the CEO, Matt Lewis, he really wanted to get ISO accreditation. He knew that was the industry standard. He knew that we had to get there to be a marketable player in industry, but also to give that level of confidence to our partners and new partners that says we're committed to quality. And so from 2013 on, we've been essentially an ISO company working towards that standard and beyond. So we've not only met the standard, but we take ARL to a level that allows us to also be GMP, good manufacturing practice compliant, which is a pharmaceutical level quality standard. And so many times in the GMP world, they're a bit more strict with what's allowed for data review, what's allowed for quality compliance in the lab. Their rules are in some ways more flexible than ISO, but also in some ways much more strict because you're dealing with drug products, you're dealing with audits from the FDA, and the Food and Drug Administration are very strict with their audits when it comes to compliance, data compliance, and data integrity. You can go on their website and read what's called 483 letters and even warning letters on their website that are openly available. And you can see how strict and how detailed those audits really are. And we're meeting those compliance levels. And so we're kind of a step above the 17025 standard, but we use that as a base for quality operations at all of our ARL sites.
I want to step in a little bit more into your personal values. Obviously, you're a person of quality. You're a person who believes in integrity, specifically with data integrity, but also integrity across the company so that we, you know, ARL does good by their partners. Can you speak to kind of your philosophy of why quality is so important, maybe on a more personal level, and how that philosophy has bled into here at ARL, but also in on a personal side with your family, with your friends? How does quality affect your life, and why is it so important to instill that here at Analytical Resource Labs?
Yeah, great question. I think to really understand why quality matters so much, you just got to look at the world in general, industry in general. When you think about high quality products, what are some of the products that come to mind for you guys?
We'll start with bottled water. I mean, it's okay. The most rudimentary thing. I mean, it's just water, and you can get water anywhere. So what's the difference between one company's water and another company's water other than like the brand, right?
Yeah.
So I think that would be a really good example to use in terms of like good manufacturing practices or accreditations and stuff like that. So maybe you can expound on that.
Sure. There's a couple of good brands of water, right? So you have lower level bottled water, the Kroger brands, the stuff that's basically like city water that gets bottled. And then you have Perrier, you have Fiji water, you have these bigger, higher priced brands. What's the difference between those two is a lot of times the quality of the product that you're getting out. And in order to have a high quality product, a product that maybe tastes better, maybe that's a little bit better for you. Some product waters are pH adjusted to be more in line with like, you know, our body. And people pay more for that. Why? Why do people pay more for quality? Because it's consistent, right? You have that consistency. So, I mean, have you ever been to a restaurant and gotten sick, right?
Yeah.
Something happened with the quality in the background. How hard is it to go back to that restaurant after you've been sick at it? I know my daughter, she got sick at a restaurant. I won't name the name.
No, I want to know the name. No, we won't talk about it.
So she got sick at this restaurant, and it's been like over 5 years, and we have not gone back because she refuses to eat there.
No, that's true. I mean, like as consumers, one bad experience is all we need. I think we can speak on behalf of businesses when they send products to a company and what those companies can do for them.
Exactly. And so quality is consistency in product, right? And that's what makes a good quality anything in industry, any industry, good. Apple is a good example of that. Apple has done a great job with their product. They have an amazing quality team, and their product lasts, right? Like, how many issues do you have with your electronics nowadays? It's very minimal. If you have problems with your phone or electronics or any of that, the market is so big with Samsung, Nokia, Apple, you have Microsoft, you have all these other companies competing in the same space, that it's so easy. If you have problems with one phone, you just go to the best phone out there and there's another one waiting. And then those companies die off really quick. So it's survivability, right? So in our industry as well, there's a lot of labs. There's a lot of labs that you can choose from to test your samples, but the ones that are of low quality, and I've seen this personally in industry being a quality auditor for labs, when you have low quality, you don't last long. You may have lower prices. You may have faster turnaround times because you might be cutting corners that your customers don't see. And that's a sad thing in industry is the customer, all they see is their certificate coming through, you know, to their inbox. And they're happy at the turnaround time. They're happy at the price. But then the consistency changes, right? Maybe one day you get a good result that you were expecting. The next day you get a result that maybe you weren't expecting. And you do some inquiries and you find out that the way they're obtaining the data may not be the best way to obtain that data. Or heaven forbid, you get an FDA auditor at your facility, at your manufacturing plant, and the FDA asks you about this certificate of analysis and how this data was obtained. And what did you do? What was your due diligence to qualify that vendor to get you that data? And now all of a sudden, you're in the hot seat because the laboratory you're using maybe doesn't have the best practices, so the FDA goes there. And that's happened to us a couple of times, right? We had the FDA come and audit us on behalf of one of our partners and the data they were looking at their site. You know, we've handled those very well because of the quality that we've established here. If you don't have a good quality system at your laboratory, then that's going to come back to you because they're an extension of your company as a CMO. So quality is incredibly important for consistency, for overall longevity of the business. We've been around over 20 years, and there's a reason for that. There's a lot of companies that don't last more than 5 years in this industry. And I'm not going to name names, but there's a number in the industry in our area in Utah within 30 miles. I can think of at least three that have been shut down within 5 years because of consistency problems, because of quality problems. And it's a shame because it doesn't have to be that way. But it does cost money to have a higher quality system. And sometimes that does come back and reflect in pricing. But just because you're getting low pricing, fast turnaround times, does not mean quality in this industry, unfortunately. And I think that's something that does happen with some of our smaller partners. They end up going to try a lab that's maybe lower in price, faster turnaround time, but maybe not as high a standard in quality. You do have to pay a little bit for that. And we do our best to, you know, adjust pricing for those kind of things. But quality does have a cost to it. There's a cost associated with that.
I think one of the things that I want to kind of clarify also to our audience is that when ARL talk about partners, I just want everybody to know that we're talking about our, in other words, clients, like our clients or customers, right?
Yeah.
So we're not like talking about business partners. But we do treat these people like business partners because we're actually supporting them and helping them. That's why we call them partners. So just to clarify to our audience, if they're confused about when we talk about partners, we're not just talking about like people that we do business with in a way that they're part business partners, but we're talking about clients, really, people who send samples to us and businesses. And I like the way you touch on how important it is for quality control and everything in a company or in a lab. And it just kind of makes me wonder why companies, I mean, would like to send samples to labs that are not qualified. I mean, are businesses not looking at quality when they're looking to send a sample into a lab to be tested? Or are they just, I mean, you talk about pricing, but I'm sure a lot of the businesses, maybe they're not as informed. Would you say that? I mean, like, oh, yeah. Why would you send samples to a lab that's not accredited other than the price? I mean, what risk are you going to take?
Yeah, that's a great question. When it comes to sending in samples as like a CMO, contract manufacturer, or a dietary supplement provider, or a wholesaler, or something like that, that they need to have their product tested, it depends on their education level. And I've noticed it actually depends on their experience in industry. People that have gone through regulatory audits, either with the FDA or some other auditor that they're working with, a vendor that's supplying them product, and they've had a bad experience, meaning they've had a number of issues that were found that they had to correct, they realize that the cost of quality, whatever cost that is that they have to input to get a better product, a more consistent product, is worth it, because in the long run, the consumer is going to be more loyal to that brand, mm-hmm, because of the consistency. I mean, think, go back to like the water again, right? Fiji water has been around forever. Why? Because people like the taste of it. They like the consistency of it. You know, nothing's changed in, I want to say, 20 years or more in that product. Mm-hmm. And yet it's still on the shelves for $3.50, $4 a bottle, mm-hmm, when there's 99-cent bottles out there for the same, that look exactly the same, you know, and there's a reason for that. And it's with a lot of other products as well, like we touched on Apple and these others as well. They all have that one thing in common, which is quality, right? And I think some of these newer companies that maybe don't have as much experience in industry with regulatory compliance, with ISO 17025 or other accreditations with laboratories that they're working with, what they have to go on is a budget. You know, I have this budget to spend on testing, and I'm trying to get that number favorable, or below that line of the budget. And so they'll go with a cheaper lab that can provide fast results, maybe without having to look too deeply into the quality, because maybe that's not their expertise. Maybe they don't understand it that well. And so educating the industry on acceptable levels of quality is really important. You know, we have a lot of partners that sell on Amazon. And if you've shopped on Amazon, which 99.99% of us probably have, you know that there's high quality stuff and there's also low quality stuff, right, on there that you can buy. And you have to be careful. There's really no standard. And what the industry, what the governments are trying to do is standardize that. And even Amazon has tried to do that. So we work with Amazon directly, authenticating certificates of analysis. People submit or can submit false certificates analysis to Amazon saying it was tested at ARL, quote unquote, and it wasn't. And so, you know, they have their level of quality that they have to adhere to too, because they're trying to protect their consumers, right? And so we're all trying to get this level of quality, this standard level across the board. But it's difficult when you have people that are not used to that in industry trying to just get their product out. They have an idea for a supplement or some other pharmaceutical drug product they're trying to get on the shelves. Maybe they don't have the quality education that someone like myself or someone else in industry would have. And so they just take the cheapest route to save the business money. And that's where they can get into trouble. And you know, I've seen that in the past. So educating people on regulatory compliance is really important. I think that's something that we should talk about more often.
I think that's a good idea.
I want to speak about your experience with the American Society of Quality. Can you talk about a little bit what it was like becoming an auditor and your experience with that, and why has that been so important in your role here as the Director of Quality at Analytical Resource Labs? And then also on top of that, what are some of the practices that you've taken from that to help instill quality here within the lab?
Sure. Yeah, the American Society of Quality, I was introduced to that company back when I worked at Nature Sunshine Products, that big supplement company down in Spanish Fork. And they worked with them mainly for Lean Six Sigma. Lean Six Sigma is an efficiency process where you have projects essentially in your company, workflows and things that you want to improve the efficiency on to essentially get a better bottom line out of that process. So, you know, create more revenue, decrease your overhead expenses, whatever it may be. So I went through ASQ for doing some Lean Six Sigma training there. And that's what my introduction was many years ago. And after that, I was very interested in doing quality. Once I got hired on in, you know, 2013 as a quality manager, ASQ was a go-to for articles, for kind of TED Talk type meetings and videos that helped me educate myself on my own in my spare time in the world of quality for the industry I was in, which was dietary supplements and pharma. They have a plethora of courses that you can take. And luckily, you know, the company ARL has sponsored me to take those courses and educate myself in auditing, in quality management, in pharmaceutical compliance through ASQ. And that's been wonderful. They have amazing standards. They are the go-to when it comes to understanding what the industry is demanding for quality. They have, you know, exams that you take to become certified. So if you have someone that has an ASQ, like CQA, Certified Quality Auditor, like what I have, they've gone through a certain level of education and they've taken a certification exam to prove they understand what that is, right? And so it's a great organization, and that's, and we've applied a lot of what was learned there in regards to statistical process improvement, right? So we put control charts in our laboratory now that use statistical analysis to determine if a process is going to go out of control or it's staying in control. So we've started using these data gathering processes in the lab to help us prevent problems before they happen, especially with instrumentation. Because as you see a process control chart kind of erratically moving upwards or downwards on a process control chart, you know something is, for instance, getting dirty, needs to be cleaned, or maybe a column needs to be flushed or something like that. And you can do preventative maintenance to bring that control chart back into a normal range before you have a failure. Because we never want to have failures in the lab. Failure in the lab means you're going to have to do retesting. You're going to have to contact the client. You're going to have to do an investigation of why it happened in the quality side. So preventing that work helps improve the process in the lab, helps get results out faster, keeps our turnaround times where they need to be, and keep our quality high, but also keep our partners happy. And that's a big part of what I learned from my ASQ experience was all the little details, the statistical process improvement, and then, you know, also the big stuff, you know, the big overarching pillars of quality. They go into detail into what does that mean in the real world? And I think that's really good, especially for someone new in quality, that's a quality lead or going into a quality management role that doesn't have quite that experience yet. Look at ASQ. They can help guide you, be that mentor to help bring your level of quality knowledge to the standard that it needs to be for the industry.
I like everything that you've said. I think it's important for businesses to understand the importance of quality and what they're subjecting their products to in terms of, like, you know, testing and testing capabilities and stuff like that.
I think the philosophy here at ARL has always been about how are we positively affecting the world? And I think you've seen that here with your experience as the director of quality and your other roles. Can you speak just a little bit to finish off the trickle effect of what we're doing here and how it's changing the world, how we're affecting not only our partners, but also consumers? What is the long-term trickle effect that we're trying to achieve here at ARL?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I'll try to answer as best I can, because the small things end up becoming big things long-term, right? So getting the correct data out, most accurate, precise data that we can at the highest level of quality means that the products that our families consume, the dietary supplements, the food, the pharma, the cosmetics that we use, because we test all those things here, are going to be of a high standard, something that we want to use. I think that's the end goal. You know, in talking with our CEO, Matt, you know, we've had conversations like that. You know, would we use a product that we test? Would we trust our result enough to use a cosmetic cream on our face that we tested for pH to make sure it's not too acidic? Or a whey protein powder that we tested, you know, for heavy metals, making sure that it doesn't have any contaminants or lead or mercury or arsenic or any of that stuff? Would we be able to consume those products if we've tested them, and can we stand by that data? And we always say, yes, we want to have that, right? We want to be that quality lamppost guiding the industry to higher levels of compliance. I mean, we've even talked about Amazon, helping them understand better what they need to do, what they need to be looking at when it comes to reviewing certificates, right? How can they authenticate certificates? And that's something that we've been doing internally, because the last thing we want is to have our brand, our name on a certificate that has been adulterated and being used without our knowledge on Amazon, right? The last thing we want is for someone to take a product that may not be a high quality product and have our name associated with it. So we're trying to work with Amazon to try to fix that in their system, because that can affect all of us. If Amazon's accepting certificates that may not be legitimate and you consume that product and it's not really what it says it is, it could make you sick. It could hurt your family or your kids. And so we're a big proponent of making sure that everything that we do is of high quality. And if we stand by that testing, I think that's a big thing. And we want to promote that to the entire industry, all of the labs we work with, all of our partners, and as an arm of their company, their CMOs and other laboratories, we want to make sure that they meet that level as well. So any lab that we work with, we will do an on-site audit with them. And that's part of our quality system. Not every lab does that. Most labs will actually just send out a flyer or a questionnaire to us and say, oh, do you do this? Do you do that? Do you do this? And we'll reply back, yeah, we do that. But unless you go to their site, unless you go and see what they're doing, then it's all just hearsay.
Right.
Because I've been to laboratories. There was a laboratory that we were planning on working with doing sterility testing. And I walked into their lab, and I don't want to go into details in this, but essentially,
like, there are rats walking around. I'm just kidding.
Almost.
Oh, wow.
There was in the area where they were doing sterility testing. Now, sterility testing, you have to have a very clean space. Typically, you have a specific gowning room and procedure, and then you enter the space fully gowned, sterilized, cleaned, ready to go. And that room itself is pre-cleaned and sterilized before the samples even enter. Well, this room was open to office areas where they were doing the sterility testing. The worst part, though, was there was a leak in the roof dripping right on the work area where they were doing sterility testing.
Do they know about that?
Yes, they did.
And they did. And it just they just leave it there.
They were getting it fixed, but actual testing was happening while I was there.
Oh, wow.
In that room. And the risk of that is, think about a vial or something that should be sterile that's filled with a medicine that's being injected into a patient. If that vial was tested there and they got a false negative for sterility because their practice isn't very good, and really the vial wasn't sterile, think of the germs you're injecting into a patient. You could get sepsis. You could get extremely sick.
Well, it's just scary to think that the lab exists and it's doing business.
Yeah.
And for you to walk in there and they know you're walking in there to do auditing and
yeah,
it's they just don't think that's a problem. That's a problem.
It was very eye-opening. That's one of the biggest reasons why I always do on-site audits. Because on paper, they looked phenomenal. They were not ISO accredited. They didn't have a laboratory accreditation through any third party. So nobody was really looking at them from the outside. And that's why I flew out there to see them, because I had nothing to go off of, right? I had to go see what they were doing. And I do that whether they're ISO or not. If we're working with a lab that's not ISO, they get treated just the same as an ISO lab. I have to see what they're doing. I have to make sure that they're meeting our level of quality. And if they're not, you know, we'll write a non-conformance report and they can fix those things if they want to work with us. But that's the standard that we should all have in the industry. All labs should be fighting for a level of quality that's of a certain level that we should never go below. But unfortunately, there's a lot out there, like this lab that I'm talking about with sterility, that maybe their quality system just is not quite where it needs to be, and they're still operating. And maybe their partners don't know because they're not auditing them.
That's very scary. I mean, it's one of the scariest things I've heard today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just knowing that these things exist and that we're consuming some products that may be tested there.
Yeah.
Or tested for sterility. It's just really scary.
They're doing the best they can, FDA, but there's, frankly, they don't have enough auditors to really audit every lab that's doing this testing. But we have to have that level of quality throughout, because the last thing we need is to get sick from a drug product that's trying to make someone better that may be already at risk, medically speaking, already have medical complications. They're in a fragile state. Then they get sick and they die. I mean, that's why FDA exists, right? If you go back to like the 1940s, they had all kinds of problems with drug products. You know, they had an anti-nausea medication for pregnant women that ended up, it's thalidomide, ended up killing children.
Wow. Right?
And children would be born with birth defects. And that thalidomide disaster was actually prevented in the USA, for the most part, from someone in the government that said, hey, there's a lot of studies in Germany that show this stuff is causing birth defects. Maybe we shouldn't have it in the US, you know, and that helped get the FDA moving, the Food and Drug Administration, putting regulations in place to prevent drugs like that from being marketed in the US and being sold to consumers. And then, of course, regulations on sterility, vaccines and stuff. There was a polio problem. I don't know if you guys know about this polio vaccine. The FDA actually has this as a case study on drug products. There was a batch of polio. They use live virus, polio virus, when they make the vaccine. And then they have to inactivate that virus,
right?
Before it gets injected. So basically you're being injected with inactivated virus. Then your body makes antibodies too. But the virus can't attack you.
Right.
Okay. Now there was a process that was being done by one of the manufacturers where it didn't quite inactivate the virus all the way.
Oh, wow.
So what they did was they started injecting
polio,
real polio into people.
Trying to vaccinate polio.
Yeah.
they spreading polio.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was a quality thing. It all comes back to quality. If someone were checking the activity of the polio virus before it went out, if they were checking the process to make sure that they were, you know, inactivating the virus for a certain amount of time in whatever manner they needed to do that, you know, and verifying that along the way, having those checks and balances, maybe that would have never happened. And that's why the FDA now exists and why they're so strict, because they're trying to prevent people from getting paralyzed or killed, which is basically what happened with the polio. They killed and paralyzed hundreds of people from that. And that's our goal too, right? I mean, food and supplements, you have less likelihood of getting killed from that. You could get sick, right, with bacteria or from heavy metal contaminants, maybe residual solvents that are in your product can make you ill. But with drug products, especially sterile drug products, you could kill someone. And so there's a level of risk there when you consume things. The quality matters. The quality matters with that. And so when you choose a quality lab to do your testing for your products as a CMO or a vendor or whatever, you know, you want to have the highest quality lab that you can possibly find so that you have confidence in your product. It's going to give you more confidence. You know, you shouldn't be doing this because you have to. You should be doing this because you need to know and back up the quality of your stuff. We all have to have that quality mindset.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's all the questions we had.
No, I'm enlightened just talking to you today. I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't know about quality. I mean, we know the surface a little bit about like consistency and reassurances and confidence level on everything, but this is really good. This is really knowledge that we need. So for our audience who want to know more about our accreditations, they can visit our website at www.analyticalresource.com or visit our show notes for details.
Well, thanks, Jake, for coming on. Thanks for your time. We hope that you continue success here and changing things here and allowing ARL to be the best that it is. And hopefully we can have you on the podcast again sometime, talk more about quality.
Sure. Happy to do it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That's a wrap on this episode of Lab Talk. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and learned something new about the exciting world of science and laboratory partnerships. To stay up to date on the latest episodes and delve deeper into the topics discussed, be sure to subscribe to Lab Talk on your favorite podcast platform. Share the knowledge with your colleagues and friends too.
Do you have any questions or suggestions for future Lab Talk topics? We'd love to hear from you. Drop us an email at labtalk@yourqualitylab.com. And for more information about Analytical Resource Labs and the services we offer, visit our website at www.analyticalresource.com.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode of Lab Talk.
Lab Talk is a production of Analytical Resource Labs, copyright 2024, all rights reserved. The music used in this episode is composed by Artie Sun.